Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The mining of Bitcoin. When you go, and I understand you're not actually using a pick and shovel, you're using your computer to do all sorts of crazy mathematical things on the web, but who hides it? How do you get it? How do you find it? Why is it even there? What's the process?
Is it true he's a leprechaun with a top hat?
What was your neck size back in the business school years? Because you
16.
Obviously would know that. 16. All right. I've never been. I think my lowest might have been a 17 and a half.
Okay.
I had a few jumpers when I was a kid that had a 16 neck.
16 neck. When you were six.
That's right.
Rob, I know Rob also gives his clothes that no longer fit him to people. Over the years, he's given them to a variety of people.
Really?
Who are some of the people, even one, if you could pull one name, who's somebody that you've given your old hand-me-downs to?
Willard Scott.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We're delighted to have you along as we ramp up to the big Memorial Tacula that's going to be happening all around the country. Things are reopening. So exciting. From Speedway, Indiana, Windsor, North Carolina, Gallup, New Mexico, Gdansk, Poland, Nashville, Tennessee, the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, and everywhere else you may be listening to this program. I'm your charming host, Mike O'Mara, and it's so nice to have you with us today. Just a little weird energy in the house today because I don't know why.
Well, the arrival. The arrival.
Yes, it was a hostile arrival by me.
And the arrival of your family, too.
Yes, at the same time before Oscar got here. Oscar was late. Doesn't mean it's boarding. I always thought it was maybe boarding he had a trouble with, but no. It's just, he can't be on time. Doesn't know how. Not a chip. Doesn't have that chip. Anywho. Oh, my goodness gracious, Jesus just walked in the room.
That's not Jesus.
Hey, you might be wondering why we're looking at this particular individual. We're looking at this man because we're here to talk about something we are fascinated with on this show. Fascinated and ignorant at the same time.
Yes.
By the way, that's a great way to be. You're fascinated with something, but you really know nothing about it. I think that's very special. So that's why we decided we would book this gentleman known, ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Bitcoin.
Thank you.
He is not a medical doctor. He is Mark Hopkins. Mark has been a crypto enthusiast since 2011. He is a journalist and chronicler of the crypto space. Mark is a self-described techie nerd who is geared towards explaining things to tech-adjacent people. I like the way that works. He is a futurist. I'll find out what that is. And a blockchain evangelist.
Yes.
I don't know what that is either. This is going to be so informative just for me personally. Hopefully it'll be entertaining for you as well. He has taught at SMU, that's Southern Methodist University.
Yes, sir.
And the University of Texas at Dallas, and is a frequent speaker on the corporate conference scene. He has been told that Startup, and let me tell you, if you haven't watched Startup, it's on Netflix now. It dropped on Netflix, a couple of months ago?
About a month ago.
Yeah.
I haven't binged a show like Startup in a long time. I have not. I have been living with Startup almost, if I am not eating, putting my son down to sleep, golfing, or saying nice things to my wife, I'm in front of the magic box watching Startup. I'm obsessed with it. And I've got a lot of questions about that. He says, Dr. Bitcoin, that Startup resembles his life. He recommends Coinbase for the beginner, and he is ready to answer crypto questions. So we've got him right here. You can subscribe to Mark's crypto newsletter, access his blog, and watch his videos at AskDrBitcoin.com. That's AskDrBitcoin.com. And Mark joins us right now. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
It's wonderful to have you on the show, and you look like you could be in the show Startup. You look like you're in one of those spaces for these techie startups that are happening all over the place. And you know, when you say that startup resembles your life, have you been in and out of different techie jobs or worked in these think tanks and these boiler rooms where this this kind of tech work occurs?
Yes, I have. And I should clarify, I haven't watched Startup yet. I've just had like at least three people tell me that this is your life, Mark. You need to see this show.
Yeah, so, it has a lot of the fictitious startup that they start the show with is called GenCoin, which is a competitor for Bitcoin. And right. When it comes to cryptocurrency, I talk about it a lot. Oscar knows more about it than I do, but if you could give us just the general idiot's outline of Bitcoin.
101.
What's that?
Bitcoin 101.
Bitcoin 101. Thank you for putting the one. That was very helpful. Thank you, Rob. Bitcoin 101.
That's I thought it was reasonably
crypto
helpful.
Crypto 101.
Yeah.
Thank
well, you. it was nothing really that helped me. You know, it's, yeah, give us the crib notes on Bitcoin. That would be Bitcoin 101. Or, you know, so what? Bitcoin 101 might be a little too difficult for me.
I can explain Bitcoin in one sentence, yes. And then you'll probably ask me a few questions about that sentence. But the sentence I always use to explain it is that Bitcoin is the reference architecture for blockchain, which is a internet protocol for mitigating the requirement for trust between counterparties. That's what I start out like in a college setting. I'll say this is the big sentence. And then I'll spend the rest of the hour like explaining everything that I just said. But to kind of
say it again. Give me the sentence one more time, please.
Sure. Yeah. So it's Bitcoin is the reference architecture for blockchain, which is a internet protocol for mitigating the requirement for trust between counterparties.
Yeah. So, all right. So mitigating.
So I can uncompact that a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you tell to a fourth? What would you tell a fourth grader about this?
So, if you're a fourth grader, you're on the playground, you want to trade lunch items with somebody during your lunch break or whatever, during your recess break. There's always an opportunity for somebody to cheat the other person if you're dealing in with a middleman, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you got Billy, Susie, and Johnny, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Billy and Johnny want to trade, a sandwich for an ice cream sandwich, or something like that. And okay. And Susie's in the middle, right? Susie has an opportunity to play both sides and to, try to get the best of the deal from both players. Bitcoin and blockchain is an internet protocol, just like email or, the web are versions of internet protocols.
Right.
It's just an internet protocol for value exchange where there are no middlemen. You don't have to worry about it.
Like a bank.
Right. Yeah. A bank would be a middleman. Bitcoin and blockchain is a tool for possibly replacing them in many circumstances.
Ooh. All right. In many circumstances. And when I first heard about Bitcoin, I realized that it was the way I would describe it would be a new form of currency, a currency where it existed primarily online, where people could deal with each other directly. And then it seems like, Mark, in the blink of an eye, suddenly we had Bitcoin trading on the stock market or trading online where, one Bitcoin was worth $40,000. And somewhere a lot of stuff happened in between the opening of Bitcoin and where we are today. And I missed all of it because I just jumped off. I didn't. Oscar, would that be accurate? Yeah, what I said?
We were having Mark these or Dr. Hopkins. We were having these type of conversations years ago where we were like, should we buy a Bitcoin for $1,000? It's $1,200. Too much. I don't know. And I got to go to the dark web to buy it. There wasn't a place like Coinbase to get it.
And I was always dragging my feet because no matter how many times and how many ways I asked Oscar, he couldn't explain to me where it came from.
And then another friend around that time, this is probably like 4 years ago now, said, hey, you missed the boat on Bitcoin. Why don't you get into Ethereum? You can get into Ethereum right now for $120. And I was like, I like Uncle Sam's greenbacks and stocks.
What's Ethereum trading right now?
I think Ethereum's at $2,500.
Okay.
That's about right.
Yeah. And you could have gotten in there at $100?
$120. I remember saying, well, maybe I should buy 10 Ethereum. But it's also, what are you willing to lose? I'm willing to lose nothing.
Yeah.
Risky.
Well, that's what it kind of comes down to. So I put out a great guide, like a beginner's guide to investing. And it's not really just for cryptocurrency, but it's just for anything that's market traded. It's a guide on dollar cost averaging. And the problem is, for most people, they go through the same cycles that you guys just went through, or you guys went through over the last, you know, kind of 10 years of crypto, where you don't feel like you're an expert in investing, let alone an expert in cryptocurrency.
Right.
And you know, you're like, oh, do I get in now? Do I buy the dip? Do I buy it now that it's too high? And dollar cost averaging is a technique that, you know, it basically, it's for the unsophisticated investor. People that aren't going to sit there and day trade and look at charts and get stressed out overnight about whether I dropped by 40%, what am I going to do? You just kind of stick to a regimen. And over time, you kind of turn around like 5 years later and you're like, holy crap, I've got like 500% ROI on my investment.
Mm.
Okay. And but as far as the price of, first of all, what is Bitcoin? What is it priced at today? What
right
is
now?
Today's
well,
rough,
let me give you an actual
rate
price
of
here.
Bitcoin today? Is in the 36, 46.
The doctor probably has the index in front of him.
Yeah, 39 and some change is what it is. Right?
39 and $10,
so,
yes.
The average person out there doesn't have 39 grand to get even one Bitcoin. So how does the average schmo that wants to get into cryptocurrency, how does one get
Are we still mining? Is that something we want to do?
Maybe. So keep in mind, you don't need to own an entire Bitcoin to even utilize this.
I don't want half a girlfriend, though, you know? I like a whole one.
Depends on which half, really.
Well, so this is actually a really strong debate within the crypto nerd community right now, where they say, look, maybe we shouldn't be denominating Bitcoin in whole Bitcoins, because you can go 10 decimal places down behind a Bitcoin and trade any part of a Bitcoin you want. And it's really, it comes down to being able to trade it for things of equivalent value. So it doesn't really matter if you have $10 worth of Bitcoin or a 10 Bitcoin themselves. Like, it's, you can still trade any piece of it for whatever it is you're trying to
do. The way it is right now, is it kind of like the Bitcoin is like if the government only made $100,000 bills?
Yeah, it's a bit like that, except if you could rip up that $10,000 or $100,000 bill,
you
and it
subdivide
would
subdivide it. Right. Okay. I get it. I get
All right.
it.
So you're, it's just a form. It's a number. It's a number, basically. Yeah. One Bitcoin has a certain value. How is the cryptocurrency world right now? Where does it stand? Where are we right now? If we were to take a snapshot of it right now, what's happening with the cryptocurrencies around the world?
Like, this very moment in time is actually one that is going to be written about in the history books of crypto, like these last 2 weeks. It's a very momentous time. So I'm sure you saw Elon on SNL a couple of weeks ago. All of us crypto people cringed the entire time.
Dogecoin.
I'm sure.
He's doing a disservice to cryptocurrency, legitimate cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm.
It really was. Well, the bigger problem was that he not only did he kind of do a disservice in terms of how he represented it to the public, but then as soon as he comes on SNL and kind of tanks Dogecoin, he goes on Twitter and reverses course on whether or not he believes that Bitcoin is a green technology, just flying in the face of the actual facts of the matter, saying Bitcoin wastes energy, which isn't.
What is a green technology? What would you mean by a green technology?
Well, you know, our grid, our electrical grid, is made up of tons of energy sources, coal, and you know, nuclear.
Oh, green, green, yeah, like used
like
in the word,
like Tesla type of energy.
I thought it was like you were using it in some other context. No, green energy. Okay,
yeah,
I get it. I'm
Bitcoin
smart.
Bitcoin actually is a far more of an ecologically friendly technology than the average of the grid. Like it. The way that mining is set up, it incentivizes people using renewable resources for their electrical source. And Elon just came out there and spread disinformation, and the media cycles ate it up. And it actually, at the end of this two-week news cycle, China banned mining of Bitcoin if it used coal technology in a certain region of its country, which caused the price to tumble by 40%.
I'm so lost right
now.
No,
no, this is great. This is great.
I just got lost, though, as far as coal and what?
You should know, Mark, that Mike has a bidet powered by the sun. So this is like, this is close to his heart. He just doesn't realize how close it is.
His solar bidet?
China banned it because it's coal and I don't want, what?
No, these central governments don't want this cryptocurrency that they can't control to exist.
Mm. What does it have to do with coal, though?
So, about 30 to 40% of all the Bitcoin that's mined in the world is mined in China. Okay. And it's primarily concentrated into two regions of the country. Okay. One region is primarily powered by coal power plants, and one primarily powered by hydroelectric. Now, the reason why it's mined in the coal area is it's a fairly underpopulated area, and the country has been giving out tax credits and incentives for industry to move up there and use up some of that overproduced power in an effort to bring economic development to that region. Unfortunately, Bitcoin miners were just saying, hey, you know, free energy, I'm going to take it, and not really improving the economic development of that region, just kind of forwarding the Bitcoin.
So they staked their claim in that part of China.
They set up shop.
Because they had all this cheap energy that they could power their computers to search for Bitcoin. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. And China basically this week said, look, that's enough. We're not Bitcoin miners, get out. Everybody else, you can use this power. Bitcoin miners, go to the hydroelectric side of the country and you deal with that over there.
Okay, this is one thing that I can't wrap my head around, and every time Oscar talks about it, and I got a friend who actually does this, the mining of Bitcoin. When you go, and I understand you're not actually using a pick and shovel, you're using your computer to do all sorts of crazy mathematical things on the web, but who hides it? How do you get it? How do you find it? Why is it even there? I mean, what are you mining for? What's the process?
Is it true he's a leprechaun with a top hat?
It's a leprechaun. That's why it's a gold chain of the leprechaun that he wears. It's why
pink hearts, yellow moons.
So remember how I said it was a blockchain was a protocol,
right?
So, so it's just like the web or FTP or these other email protocols. Like it's all written into how the standard works, right? And with Bitcoin in particular, and every cryptocurrency is a little bit different in how they do this. With Bitcoin in particular, it's written into the protocol that there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoins. That's what drives the scarcity.
Okay.
And also written into the protocol.
Now that makes sense.
No one has ever said that.
Yeah, they can't print more money like
there's
the
a cap.
Fed.
You're right. Okay.
So what's the cap on it again?
21 million Bitcoin.
21 million Bitcoin times 40 grand, it's a pretty significant value, right? And why does it dramatically fluctuate so much?
Well, that's just a matter of markets. You know, there's 18.5 million of those Bitcoins have already been mined that are already out there floating around being used or being used as a store of value or whatever. And of those 18.5 million Bitcoin, a small fraction, close to, you know, not even like 10 or 20% of that are actually traded on markets. That's called liquidity. So that liquidity that are on those markets is what actually determines the price of Bitcoin. So the price that people agree in any given moment that they're going to buy or sell it for is what determines that price of Bitcoin. And if for some reason there's a major news event like Elon a couple weeks ago that tanks the price of Bitcoin, or like a couple months ago when Elon said, hey, Tesla's going to buy a ton of Bitcoin, it dramatically increased the price because it brought positive attention. And people's like, well, if Elon's doing it, I want to do it, you know?
Right.
And so everybody goes out and buys Bitcoin, and that small amount of liquidity gets sucked up.
Yeah, but Elon's also dating a supermodel. I'd love to do that as well. I just can't.
So
also a scarce amount of supermodels available for dating.
Sure. Yeah, they put a cap on supermodels.
I'm also married. I'm sure my wife wouldn't appreciate
it. All right. So I think I understand where we are right now. And it is volatile and it can fluctuate wildly. Are you an advocate for the average person out there to get into this cryptocurrency, to get into specifically Bitcoin?
Yes, in fact, I am. That's the evangelist.
Yeah, he wouldn't be a doctor otherwise, Mike.
That's right.
He wouldn't be Dr. Bitcoin if he didn't recommend Bitcoin. Yeah. Do you own Bitcoin?
Yes, I do. I got into it in about 2011. I'm not a billionaire. I don't have all the Bitcoin that I had in 2011, but you know, it's changed my life for the better. The Bitcoin that I do have.
Well, the wall behind you looks a little sparse. What have you bought? It looks like you've sold everything to buy Bitcoin.
To be honest, it does look like you're in the attic at your mother's house.
Yes.
I'm just saying that. But I mean,
a beach background next time.
I'll ask you this: were you back in 2011? How much could you pick up a Bitcoin for?
Between $7 and $13.
Oh my God! So you could buy and sell us right now. I see that. I see. He's a millionaire next door.
Yeah,
he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything on his walls. No, he has everything in his wallet.
He absolutely. So that and but you know, they say in the TV show Startup that I'm watching all the time, it's always about being first. Being first is key. Being first, and Bitcoin, they were the first ones. They were before Dogecoin and all the other ones. So that's key, right? As far as to maximize value. But do you see any ceiling in Bitcoin? Could this just keep going up and up and up?
Well, it depends on a lot of factors, and nobody has a crystal ball. But so you don't know what new technology will come out and disrupt Bitcoin in the future. But to the use case that Bitcoin is good for, which is a store of value, kind of the same thing that people use gold for. It's right. Superior to gold in every way. It's scarce like gold. It has a predictable, mining supply and liquidity, a knowable liquidity. But unlike gold, you can move it around electronically, right? So You can't necessarily say that Bitcoin will be the best crypto in all of all time for all eternity, but you can say that it will be a better gold for, the noble future.
Dr. Bitcoin, I've heard the gold comparison, and it drives some people up the wall,
especially jewelers.
Well, no, just the value. Because look, if you're going to diversify, people say gold is safe; it'll hold its value, it'll continue to appreciate. The gold comparison, while I'm a cryptocurrency fan. I think that Hans Gruber's brother taught us best in Die Hard that you can move gold, you can turn gold into anything. You just need a bunch of dump trucks and you're good to go, and you take it away. For you, someone could hack hypothetically your crypto wallet and just take it, and poof, you don't know.
They're as likely to hack my crypto wallet as somebody is to steal from Fort Knox.
Yeah, so. I bet doesn't he look like he has a very complicated password?
You got more than 7 characters? What do you got?
Is your middle name plus 38? What is it?
Are you, let me ask another dumb question, Dr. Bitcoin. And we're talking to Mark Hopkins, who knows everything there is to know about this. Who right now, is there an individual, is there a company that has more Bitcoin
who runs
than
Border
anybody
Town?
Else? Who runs who runs Bartertown? Oh, not Bordertown.
Should be Border for me.
is there an individual or a company that that has a large stock of this stuff right now?
Well, there's several well-known investors that have come out and said, "Hey, we've allocated between 1% and 5% of my." So well-known investors, meaning multi-billionaire type investors, that say we've allocated between 1% and 5% of our net worth into Bitcoin as a hedge against not the markets or not against Wall Street, but against traditional finance. That's when I say it's a better gold than gold. I'm not saying you should, disregard gold as an investment, but Bitcoin was created as a hedge against, in 2008, against what we saw, with the market collapses that were occurring, right? So it's created with the idea in mind that this can be better money, and if everything just goes hyperinflation, and economic collapse, Bitcoin will still function as a store of value.
And would you, I'm going to ask you to put on kind of a broker hat right now, with the volatility of Bitcoin, when someone like Elon Musk gets on, an entertainment show and makes a comment that causes it to drop 40%, is there a price right now where you would say, oh my God, I've got to get in if it dipped down to a certain level? It is tremendously volatile right now. It's trading at about $39,000.
I've had ex-girlfriends who were volatile that were less volatile.
Is there a number you would say, oh my God, do whatever you can to get your hands on this?
Well, so the evangelist in me says the best time to get into Bitcoin is today, or the best time is yesterday. The second best time is today. But the in terms of buying the dip, actually right now is a really good time. It just dropped 40% in value. So if you ask a technical analyst, that one of those guys that watches the stock, you know, charts all day long, they're saying right now it's 50-50 whether or not crypto markets are going to enter a bull or a bear market. So it's right now we're at a kind of a watch and see. If you get in right now, you basically would set like something they call a stop loss, like say, I don't want to lose more than 15%, you know. Mm-hmm. And because if we enter a bear market, it's going to be a slow, you know, decline, maybe a sideways movement for a long period of time. If we enter a bull market, it's projected.
Are you talking about a bull and a bear stock market?
Yes.
Or a Bitcoin market?
Bull bear.
Crypto. Bitcoin.
Okay.
But if we enter a bull market, the price target is somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000 per coin.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Wow. So that... that's interesting. I mean, that's so if it goes up, it's going to go up by 50% or more.
If I had 50K, let's just round up, and I had the option of buying like a really rare Pokemon card or Bitcoin, you're saying Bitcoin.
Oscar, how many times have I told you gold Squirtle?
Step out of the class, Mr. Sin.
So this is where I've got to throw out a bunch of disclaimers for legal protection, because like, the general advice is something that I can provide like about crypto markets in general, but I can't make specific advice about anybody's particular financial situation.
Yeah, you dip your toe, though.
There are many situations in which a Pokemon card are going to be a much better investment than Bitcoin, because you're talking about trader markets, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know that you could unload that Pokemon card very easily, right? Do you know a bunch of collectors?
Pawn Stars tells me I can.
There's a guy in the next room that wants it.
I don't want to talk about Pokemon cards as much.
Sorry.
Pokemon.
Jesus Christ, I'm trying to figure out Bitcoin, and you throw Pokemon, and then he's doing the analogy thing like he's teaching his 101 class at SMU. Just trying to figure this GD thing out, okay? I think I'm getting my head around it, and what he's saying, and feel free to interrupt me, Doctor Bitcoin. What you're saying is that if you have Bitcoin, you are able to get rid of your Bitcoin if you want to, much easier than you would say something like a trading card or a baseball card or even gold for that matter. It might be easier to get rid because of the internet, because of the electronic nature of this. Correct? Correct.
Right. Well, I mean, it's 15 minutes to create an account on 100 different websites to sell and buy Bitcoin.
Coinbase is coming on as a sponsor, so they're perfect for this.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a great example.
If you're if we have a friend,
always thinking about the advertiser.
If you have a friend that's about to go through a horrific divorce and
I'm listening,
and he wants to shelter his funds, is Bitcoin a good place to be?
No.
Okay. But the blockchain isn't going to follow a divorce, is it?
So, well, it depends. It really depends on the judge. So every court has a different level of tech savvy. And if you've got a smart judge that understands how Bitcoin works, it's very easy to track those purchases, because that's what blockchain is for.
Yeah.
It's about exposing the chain of custody, right? There are cryptos that do a good job of hiding that chain of custody. There's one called Monero where it's completely private.
Mm.
That would be a great place to shelter funds if you were, you know, a criminal or going through divorce. In fact, many do.
In the District of Columbia, it's Judge Smales, right?
That's him.
Yes.
L.A.U. Smales.
Yes.
Mark, let me ask you this. I got, before we let you go, I have some, because you said you don't watch the show Startup, but friends of yours have told you that Startup resembles your life. I'm going to ask a series of questions, and unfortunately, I don't like to be difficult, but these will require yes or no answers. Are you prepared to answer these questions, yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. Here we go. Have you ever been exposed to the Russian mafia?
No.
Oh, that was a pause.
That was a very...
Well, Ukrainian really isn't Russian. Ukrainian really isn't Russian.
That pause was so pregnant,
what's
it was
that?
Triplets.
I said Ukrainian really isn't Russian, so technically.
You're right about that. Mm-hmm. If we're nitpicking, have you ever... have you ever worked for 72 hours without sleep?
Yes.
Have you ever, let me see,
Tony.
Have you ever been aware or had any personal experience with anyone dealing with cryptocurrencies that might be considered someone that's part of an illegal enterprise?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm making him squirm. I'm really not even trying to. And do you know Izzy Morales?
No,
that's, I'm sorry. That's the character.
Okay, all right.
We just scratched the surface.
Have you back on?
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on.
If something breaks big with Bitcoin, if you'd be willing to come on the show, we spent a half an hour trying to figure it out. I think you're really good at explaining this and explaining what's going on. Is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with that we haven't covered? Because we're ham-handed at it. I'll be honest with you. I do the best I can, but I still feel, as John Malkovich would say, so unsatisfied. Is there anything you can leave us with?
I mean, like, my thing I would leave people with is just entreat them to dig deeper. It's I discovered it. A buddy of mine who is ironically a VP at Bank of America. We were buddies that went way back. He's the one who introduced me to it back in 2011. I was entirely skeptical about skeptical of the entire concept at first, and then the more I dug into it, here I am today. Like, it's consumed most of my life. It's a rabbit hole that's so fun to dive into. Just learn.
Huh? That's a wonderful thing. Advice. I think that's great advice. Mark Hopkins, the website is AskDrBitcoin.com. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. It was very, very interesting, and we'd love to have you on again sometime when you feel like that, okay?
Anytime.
Really appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
That's it. We got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll get back to being stupid, doing what we do best, because for God's sakes, a holiday weekend is coming. Thank you, Mark. And hopefully we'll talk to you again. And I'm going to do a dive on it. We do have an advertiser coming out.
Yes.
What's their name?
Coinbase.
What are they?
Coinbase
is going to be joining us. And they're going to be helping out with that. We'll be right back. And thank you, Mark Hopkins, on the Mike O'Meara Show.
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Meara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
It's the Mike O'Meara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Public Rec. If you're like me, and I pray to God that you aren't.
That was good read.
You'd rather be caught dead. Rob.
What?
You'd rather be caught dead than be seen running around your neighborhood in...
That's right.
You'd rather be nasty old sweats. Yeah, now I will read what you typed.
Oh, I thought you read what I typed.
If you're like me, and I pray to God that you aren't, you'd rather be caught dead than be seen running around your neighborhood in you nasty old sweats.
Mm. Oh, it's a double hit right there.
Mm. Pony. $20.
Day for Pony.
$20.
Bitcoin, but you still don't want to wear stiff, uncomfortable slacks. No, thank you. So, what to do? Public Rec to the rescue. They make leisure wear in your waist and inseam sizes because comfort starts with a better fit. Why do you always show your butt when you're modeling your?
Because they have a nice cut.
Your pants.
I have, as my mom would say, no butt, sin nalga, and. My butt actually looks good in this. The cut's nice.
I believe it comes up in the copy.
Yeah, it does.
Best-selling all-day, everyday pants. They're more stylish than sweatpants and a great alternative to jeans. And they make Oscar look so sexy.
Thank you.
Plus, Public Rec has 9 colors to choose from, plus T-shirts, Henleys, polos, T-shirts, and, wait for it, the most comfortable shorts ever.
Yes.
Get ready for summer with Public Rec. Who knew that you could look sharp in sweats? Public Rec did, and you do.
That's
right. I love them. Really, take advantage as the world opens back up. Make sure you've got clothes that are flexible, as flexible as your life is. Public Rec rarely discounts, but right now they have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Go to publicrec.com/TMOS and receive 10% off That's publicrec.com/TMOS for 10% off. I'll wait till the next break to do the homepage.
Okay.
Because I just really have to get my head. Did I do okay?
I think
sometimes
you did.
I have to ask. You did great.
And
also, still, Rob, do you have that empty feeling still that I'm not? You're not.
I'm not quite there. I'm not quite there. I do have to say thank you to Mark Riddell for hooking us up with the good doctor.
Yes.
But I feel like I drove almost all the way to the beach, and then I stopped. I almost understood. Mm-hmm. I got closer. What makes a lot of sense to me, though, that I did not know is that there's a cap on the number of Bitcoins. Now, that makes sense to me.
That, to me, assures increased value down the road.
Of course.
It's still speculation. You should treat it as, and I will, once we get Coinbase on formally, as just now by a fraction of one, as something different that could appreciate that, but it can't be your entire portfolio. It just can't be.
When we have him back, and
right.
I feel that we should,
like
have, I think we should,
yeah,
we should have him back. I want to know how it started. Who started it? And was it just a bunch
that
of agreements?
Is a wormhole of wormholes.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be 100%.
That expose apparently
very
he was
bit
in
started.
San Francisco. The very bit.
But he already said he'd love to come back anytime. So anytime we got questions, we got the good doctor. Ready
well,
to go.
It's certainly interesting, and you know, I really think that you hear a lot about this. I am watching this show Startup, which is on Netflix.
I got to catch up.
Did you finish Crackle?
I'm in the beginning
of season three now.
Ooh.
Their final season. That's how much I've binged.
Burned through.
They're
it.
They're
10
episodes.
It. Yeah.
It's an hour long show.
Yeah.
40 minutes to an hour each episode. And I've gone through two seasons already.
Well, you just got a new TV, so you can definitely watch it right there.
Well, no, I didn't want. You mean Michael's TV? No, I moved Michael's TV back into the into his room. Now, listen, here's the deal.
You are clever.
What did he do? Did he set me up to talk about that?
I think he sort of slid into
this is what I do for a living.
Yeah,
Carla, if you're at home, can I get some water, please?
Ice cold water.
Thirsty host here.
Yeah. Hydration.
Very hot down here in Southwest Florida. Yeah, so here it is. I had said, he had asked for 2 days, 2.5 days. Went, Dad, when am I going to get my TV? I said, I will revisit that when I revisit it. That's mm-hmm. what I said to him. What does revisit mean, Dad? 7 years old. I said, I will let you know. I will let yeah. you know. And then last night there was a combination of walk the dog, play piano, and help mommy do something. And it was bam, bam, bam. And it was done in such a matter-of-fact way that as opposed to making a big production number of it and saying, now I'm going to return, I saw him do these three things. And while he was in the middle of getting ready to come into piano, I walked into here and took the TV out, and he looked at me with big wide eyes, and I caught him by surprise. And I said, I'm moving the TV back. I like the way you've changed your... And I like the way he owned up to it when he was being
that is
a little
good.
Smart guy. And so that's it. That's the way. And yeah, there's a part of me that thought maybe I was being a little too weak.
When you picked up the TV and he looked at you, you should have said, you could have looked at him and said, go into the dumpster.
Yeah, I don't want to play games.
Yes.
I don't want to play games.
You could have given
him
like a solid baseline of a week when nonsense happens. 2 days is nothing.
Yeah.
Well, then next time if it's bad, I'll do it a bit longer, or there'll be other privileges that are taken away.
Cords will be cut.
I think at some point, you know, when I'm pleased, and I'll tell you, I was pleased the first day it all went down. I was pleased with, if you remember, when I was talking about owning it.
Yeah.
I've had tons of people in the radio business that don't own dick when they come
worst.
Out to bad behavior. When
the
you
worst.
I mean, our business is just as far as, you know what, I don't want to throw an entire group of people
an
under
industry?
The bus. Broadcast engineers.
My God. Bingo.
Really? Did you ever know a broadcast engineer where it was their fault? Ever?
No.
On any day? With any... So was it where it was ever... Was it
I
ever
will
admitted
say,
to?
I will
we
say
screw
one
up
exception.
Technically on our show because we all do it homemade. We don't have any professional broadcast engineers, and we own it. We
the
own
one
it all
exception
the
might be Dan Ryson because he never screwed up. He was a great
Dan
engineer.
Dan Ryson was the best.
Yeah.
He was the
yeah.
best we
yeah.
ever worked with.
Yeah.
He was the best. And it was just the combination of not doing their jobs effectively and ego. with broadcast engineers was made it one of the more difficult things to deal with. Somebody asked me about my radio career. I always say when the microphones were on, it was a pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything behind the microphones was a pure S show. All the time. Between management, salespeople, and engineering, it was always an S show.
The best engineers in my short radio career were the guys who just maintained. They weren't skinny, they weren't fat, but they could get on their knees and crawl and plug something in.
And you never really dealt with them. They were like, if you saw a
John
lot of an engineer.
John Trimmer, still alive, still grinding, yep. still killing it. That man, he'd be like, I'll be right back. And he'd come out, he'd go to Middle Earth, and then he'd come back like 2 days later, and everything would be perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you had other engineers that didn't want to be engineers.
Yeah, they just wanted to light their vans up with...
They wanted to be music stars.
They wanted to put Christmas lights on their van. How about you make this radio station work before...
Rob, do you remember that day I was railing about the engineering at WJFK and Bear got so angry at
Very
me?
Very angry,
Do you
yes.
remember that?
Mm-hmm, I do, as a matter of fact.
And it was just like all the energy was spent in that direction. And I don't even know what the circumstances were, but it would be... You know, we're out there and we're trying to get things done, and it just gets very, very frustrating. But getting back to my kid.
Yes.
I have to say this.
Well, Mike, there's an engineer that wants to weigh in, if it's okay.
Okay, go ahead. Let me hear.
Go, Bob. On my knob. Ass munch.
That's Pete Johnson from WNEW New York.
Who would always be talking about that he had to go, was going, or just got back from the Empire State Building. I have to go check on the Empire State Building.
Engineers. Now, there was a different subset of engineers in New York who were union engineers.
Oh, boy.
Forget about
who,
it.
Yeah. Who, you know, were all 500 years old and had been in their jobs since Edward R. Murrow was wandering the hallways. And they were their own. They were their own style.
I ran board for Gene Rayburn.
I want an engineer that says, oh, like, because you asked some, you would, I was always like, how does this work? Because I was curious, how does this work?
Right.
And mind you, the only way that I ensured some sort of tenure as a $20,000 a year employee at WHFS, because they would just kill every promotions assistant around when the budget came down, was I learned how to remote a broadcast, a Marty shot, and then an ISDN and a Commerce.
Yeah, valuable stuff.
And you're good at it.
Yeah.
So you're the most tech savvy guy we have here. I mean, you are. Bottom line, you retain that stuff.
So almost 20 years ago, I still feel the pain of asking one of the primetime engineers in a top market, how does this work exactly? And they're like, you know, the machine just does the job. And I said, okay. And I walked away because I wanted to.
Oh, like, was he telling you to F off?
It was he didn't want to say he didn't know. He just plugs in plugs and he moves on with his life.
That's it.
And to come a little later, it's like, oh, you know, bits of sound and packets and it's the network strength and all of that would have been helpful.
Yeah.
I think CBS, they had a real penchant for hiring engineers that love to sigh. Oh. There's a hum on the fifth channel.
Yeah, and availability was the name of the game.
There was one engineer, I won't name names, that used to hide. Literally hide.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there would be an issue, and we'd be doing something complicated. And, you know, like oh, God forbid, doing a broadcast outside of the studio.
I know.
And it would be difficult.
It would hide. Very, very difficult.
Pony, I have to give him a tip of the cap. Well, not a seasoned engineer. I never felt comfortable yelling at Jeff Lockridge, God rest his soul, or anybody else at the old setup because I was a baby DJ.
Sure.
And there are plenty of times where I went under the hood and fixed things because I was like, they're never going to get up here in time for the show.
You're right.
Pony, he will actually at first hesitate and then he'll see me getting mad. Like he'll see my face turning. And then he'll...
Your skin turns green.
I don't even have to ask him for an alternative for a solution. He'll give me one now, years later, before I blow up and say, can I have a solution and
That's
not more
problems?
That's a
compliment for our boy Pony.
Yes, I think it was a compliment.
That was a compliment. And maybe that's why he's giving you his fat shirts. I mean, his skinny shirts.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's it. That's coming up later. We've got to do the homepage in between. So then we'll ask Oscar how
full
it's
wardrobe.
Going and just how much clothing he's given.
Miles and miles of fabric.
Suits, tuxedos.
We'll take a break, and we have tuxedos. We'll never use those. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the pre-Memorial Day Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back, everybody. Simple Crash.
Hello, it's Bernie. And Bernard. You know what I hate? Well, frankly, I hate most everything. But I really hate splinters. They hurt. And I'm always losing my tweezers. And it's frustrating. So, what's the solution? Stop it at the source. Make sure all your wood is smooth. Go to the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center and buy one of their fantastic Bernie Sanders. Plug it in and go to work in your wood shop. Boy, your raw lumber doesn't stand a chance. Smooth as a baby's ass and no more splinters. They sell tweezers too. Target and Walmart, they sell it all. Just access it at MikeOmeraShow.com. Feel the burn.
Thank you, Bernie. We appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'll be really, really honest with you. I think when I first heard that we were going to have a sock company come on our air, I may have been a little, what's the word I'm looking
Nonplussed?
For here? No, I may have been a little arrogant about the idea of selling socks.
Mm.
And then I received my first pair of features. And I literally have been wearing features on my feet every day ever since. I'm going to tell you something. If you want a great pair of socks to wear at all times, you can do it for running, you can do it for golf, any outdoor activities, features can help you feel your best from head to toe with perfectly engineered socks for maximum support and relief. They've designed socks with different kinds of support, like their plantar fasciitis socks, their plantar fasciitis relief socks, specially crafted to relieve heel and arch pain, three zones of targeted compression to lift, stretch, and stabilize the plantar fascia and support your Achilles tendon, convenient relief with socks that are easy to wear and have an optional no-show tab height for maximum versatility. So if you want the best socks in the world, I am not kidding you. They are the best. I have a drawer overflowing with Features socks. They're family-owned since 2002. Easily the best socks I have ever worn. Give your feet the relief they deserve with Features.
I'm a feature.
You'll even get $10 off your first pair of Features when you go to features.com/TMOS. Plus, Features is so confident you'll love their socks that if you don't love them, they'll take them back. No questions asked. Mm-hmm. That's FEETURES.com/TMOS for $10 off your first pair of features. And they look great, too. Play the homepage.
Do it.
Thanks. Thank you.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device.
Well, I'll do it again.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device.
Did that just happen?
It's what you need to know.
Is this real life?
Is the homepage.
Thank you. All right.
From blockchain.
The coronavirus pandemic may have canceled Memorial Day plans last year, but life is starting to return to normal for 2021 thanks to the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines nationwide. I got out of the car right when I was in the middle of a news story that was going to tell me about some other details that are coming, I think, with immunity. There might be some news on immunity. I'm not sure. I missed it. But right before we taped this show, I can tell you things are looking good nationwide.
Yes.
Parades are making a comeback this year, so Americans can honor the men and women who have served in the U.S. Armed Forces. Countless local parades will take place over Memorial Day weekend. However, three cities will be attracting some of the largest crowds this year. Chicago, New York, and old Washington, D.C. All have big parades scheduled for the holiday weekend. Check your local listings. They are they're coming, and they're back.
If you can't make it to D.C. for Memorial Day, may I recommend D.C. in August?
D.C. in August
it's
is just
wonderful.
Yeah. Fantastic. It's also graduation season.
Yes.
And I will tell you this, graduation season is upon us right now. And this is something that I think was innocent, but I guess some people didn't. Half the graduating class at a Texas high school was suspended and had their senior privileges revoked over a prank that involved sticking plastic forks into the school field.
Oh, I've seen this prank done in people's yards.
That's according to a local news outlet. About 40 students were involved altogether, but some went to into Comfort High School at night. That's an interesting name for the high school. And spread balloons and plastic wrap inside. It was a harmless senior prank that all of us parents knew 100% was going on. That's a parent named Hope J. She told the local news that pictures posted by a reporter on Twitter included a photo of a mounted deer head rearranged to be crooked and other mischief.
That's
what is this high school with the deer head?
Oh my God!
And it's called Comfort High School.
Comfort High, the fighting deer.
By the way, the valedictorian and salutationary, salutatorian. It's salutatorian.
I thought it was salutatorian.
It's salutatorian. I thought it was salutatorian.
Salutatorian owns the deli on the corner.
Hey, Mrs. Salutatorian wants. All right. Anyway.
He made a 500-foot cheese.
S-A-L-U-T-A. I know valedictorian. This is stopping me. S-A-L-U-T-A-T-O-R-I-A-N.
I think that's a typo.
Salutatorian.
What about greeter?
They were among the high school performers. I don't care about Comfort High School.
Anyway. More like discomfort.
Rob?
Yes?
You ADD?
Yes.
Find out about it.
I'm looking right now.
Keep doing it.
Yes.
He stops like right in the middle if he's searching so he can.
It says salutatorian. It says salutatorian.
Not salutatorian.
No, it says S-A-L-U-T-A-T-O-R-A-I-A-N.
How the hell did I get a degree? Hey, let me get right back into my wheelhouse.
Uh-oh, Brad hold on. Pitt. According to Oxford Dictionary, says it is salutatorian.
But isn't it salutatorian?
Salutatorian, according to the pronouncer. Salutatorian.
Salute. Oh, screw it. Brad Pitt has been granted joint custody of... by the way, I don't agree with what I just did, kids. All right?
What?
When somebody corrects me or explains something that's a pronouncer. What are you doing, Oscar? Where's Oscar going? What? Salutatorian.
Yeah.
Salutatorian. All right. There we go. We've got it. There it is. Thank you.
That's you know what that is, Mike? That's second place.
Brad Pitt, a wonderful salutatorian. Salutatorian. Salute. Has been granted joint custody of his children with Angelina Jolie. I need water! Please help me, God!
Thirsty host here! Water, please!
Hydration. With Angelina Jolie following a lengthy court battle, the Oscar winner has been fighting Jolie through the courts for nearly 5 years for equal rights to their six kids.
You're a teacher.
A source... this was... you know what was in the refrigerator that I drank before the show?
What?
Hold on.
Cherry juice?
I drank this.
Black coffee?
I drank Perrier grapefruit.
Oh, that'll give you
nothing. And I swear to God, it has sucked the fluid out of my body.
A lot of sodium in that, I think, because it's mineral water.
Steals you from...
source close to the issue said it was a tentative decision, adding that Jolie continues her legal fight.
If I had six kids on the other side, I may just, like, ask for three of them back.
Yeah, who knows?
Right? Maybe is partial custody.
We all love Ryan Reynolds, right? Do you guys like Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
He's getting real about his struggle with anxiety. The 44-year-old actor commemorated Mental Health Awareness Month with a statement. He said, May is almost over. It's also Mental Health Awareness Month, which brings me to, Ryan began, one of the reasons I'm posting this so late is I overschedule myself and important things slip. And one of the reasons I overschedule myself, lifelong pal, anxiety. I know I'm not alone, and more important to all those who, like me, who overschedule, overthink, overwork, overworry, and over everything, please know you're not alone. He concluded, we don't talk enough about mental health and don't do enough to destigmatize talking about it. But as with this post, better late than never, I hope. And Brian, I am with you. I get a therapy session. What's that?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan,
right?
I said Ryan.
I thought you said Brian.
I heard Brian.
Sorry.
No.
Okay.
Ryan.
All right.
I said Ryan Reynolds.
All right.
You know, don't make me get more anxiety than I normally have, Oscar.
Now, I wanted to say, F you, Ryan Reynolds. There's no chance with those abs and those wives you've had that you have any type of anxiety. You're winning at life.
He's got a big team that he's responsible for, okay? So that's what it's all about.
Maybe he should drink some of that gin he sells.
Yeah.
Look, get the help you need and go talk to somebody. I do. I do every month. I go to see somebody. I do. I have for months now, and it makes me feel better. Really, really does.
He said his pain is that he's too busy.
Well, he overthinks, overworks, overworries, over. Yeah, he gets stressed out. He has anxiety. For him,
wouldn't you think?
Yes, it doesn't matter. No matter what the results are, Oscar, he's dealing with some stuff. Hmm. Just like you deal with some stuff.
Yeah, but Mike, know? I'm fighting for a better life in this country for my generations to come, my people.
He's Ryan's, at the top of the mountain. Is that what you're trying
Ryan's
to say?
Ryan's fighting for his 8th and 9th ab. That's all he's fighting for.
His 9th right, ab? How does that work?
Who knows?
I don't know. Get a doc. Get Dr. Bitcoin back. Now a little something, something.
Not a medical doctor.
So there's this guy
on
Twitter, and he recently found out his girlfriend was cheating on him after the dude she cheated with told him in the most brilliant way ever. The woman didn't tell the guy she had a boyfriend until the next morning after she did the naughty. Mm. So before he left her place, he left a note for the boyfriend on the one spot he knew she'd never check. He taped it to the bottom of her toilet seat. I love this story. So you could only see it when you lifted the seat up. His note explained the situation and how she didn't tell him she had a boyfriend up front. Then he wrote, "Sorry to tell you like this, but I'd want to know if I was you." And at the bottom, he just wrote, "Sorry, bro."
Oh, bro.
Right on the back of the toilet seat.
Great.
I don't know any more about this story. All I know is that when the guy read the note, he was pissed. There you go. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to step out. We got a nice long promo coming up because I'm getting some agua.
Thirsty.
I'm not going to make it to the end of the
47 seconds, Mike.
You got it.
Yeah, of course, it's a short one. All right, we'll be right back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today. You're not a man. You're a bishop, for God's sake.
There is no God.
I guess I'd have to say Jesus. Who better than Christ?
Praise be to He.
Are we crucifying someone tonight?
Daddy, you just threw Jesus across the room.
If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I was in the sky with Jesus.
I was in the sky with Jesus. Isn't so, that special?
Brothers and sisters, it's the Reverend Twitch here preaching the truth. The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show is your salvation of laughs. An extra uncensored show that delivers heavenly hilarity each and every week. Get a bonus show subscription at MikeO'MaraShow.com and always remember,
how you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to Mike O'Mara.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. How about that?
Your timing was perfect.
Nice work.
Dead on.
Many balance here. Yes, sir. It's a clinker.
It's a clinker.
I got a refrigerator story to tell you in a second.
Oh, good.
Anywho, welcome back to the show brought to you by Solo Stove. Do you like your Solo Stove? Do they teach you that here? It's a great product. It really is. I hate doing fast times at Ridgemont High when it's not appropriate. Life's best moments happen around a roaring fire. And a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your fireside time even more memorable. Because instead of having to constantly dodge campfire fumes, you can sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire. And now Solo Stove is offering a free fire pit stand with the purchase of any smokeless fire pit during their spring sale. You can make the most of the season and get the most out of your new smokeless fire pit. It's a win-win. Order now. You go from unboxing your Solo Stove to fireside fun and moments. Stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. So little smoke, you'll wonder how there's so much fire. It's easy to keep lit. It's even easier to clean. They're so confident you're going to love it, and our listeners have already told me that they love it. They offer a lifetime warranty and 30-day free return policy. Make this spring one to remember with a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove and get a free stand with any purchase of a fire pit. Just use our promo code Mike, not TMOS, it's Mike. It's a different one.
Mike.
I don't always encourage them to do that, but it's a great product so they can do whatever they want. The promo code is Mike. That's solostove.com, promo code Mike. To get your discount. That's what I want
to do. I get pulled aside in Podcast Village the other day by Charlie Burney. Mm. He says, "Charlie Burney, I bought a Solo Stove." I said, "Do you love it?" He says, "I'm out of wood. I've never been out of wood."
Why don't you speak into the microphone when you're doing your story? You're looking directly at Oscar again, and it sounds like you're in the bottom of a toilet.
Mike, Charlie Burney loves his Solo Stove, and he couldn't recommend
it's
like
it. A child.
Yes,
I want to put the caller that
again.
The Santos or any wonderful animal dog walks out of the vet, so he can't look at me. So
oh, the cone,
the cone.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. So he just looks at you straight ahead.
So Charlie Burney, I couldn't believe what I'm talking about. I don't know.
Mike, I wasn't doing that.
Yes, you were. Both microphone the whole time. I'm trying to. I believe you have important things to say.
I know, Mike.
Words hurt.
Anywho, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying. No, hey, we're having our fun
Ron.
Day.
You love
By the way,
Ron. No, it's fine.
Tomorrow on the show, if you haven't gotten a bonus show subscription,
it's the time.
No regular show this, tomorrow. No do regular we do, show tomorrow.
Do we do this every year? Do we do this every single? We usually do.
We
right?
do or this we every Memorial Day. Yeah. We sometimes do it Labor Day. Sometimes, but Memorial Day right. is the big one because this is the summer. This is the Mike. The unofficial start of summer.
Will you have the jingle Memorial Day?
I can get you the Memorial Day jingle if you
Rob
like.
Rob has jingles at his fingertips. I have a lot of different jingles as well. We're going to give Oscar a chance to do some talk.
I'm excited
as well.
Because I also brought in some weather donuts, and I want Oscar to do some weather
I can't
for
wait.
Us.
Oh, they're fantastic. There's not.
I
by
love
the way,
donuts.
Great challenge. Always. It's kind of like for me.
Yeah.
A weather donut was. Well, we had them in small markets.
I like them glazed.
But I kind
chocolate.
Of associated them with large market DJs.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, there you go.
And,
there you go.
Well, and it was such a cornerstone of the WAVA hot clock, the hourly
yes.
clock. When
mm-hmm.
they would change jingles like about every 9 months or so, and a new weather jingle, you'd stop in your tracks. It's so cool.
Yep.
It was one of my favorite elements.
They were fantastic. All right, let's get to it before we move on with the program. I need to know, are you really, really giving... Ponyboy Matt Bloom clothing because you are outgrowing your shirts. I'm just curious about that.
Gentlemen, when I went to business school, I said, enough is enough. Time to dress like an adult. And I invested heavily on custom shirts. Just we had a sponsor called Blank Label and Indochino. And it just, my closet looks like something out of a movie.
Right. What? Back in those days, just for a point of reference.
Yes.
Rob.
This is a fat song. I feel like a fat song.
No, this is a...
Okay.
It's the elephant walk.
Yes,
baby
yes.
elephant.
Oh, thank you.
Baby What was your neck size back in the business school years? Because you
16.
Obviously would know the... 16. All right.
Yeah.
I've never been. I think my lowest might have been a 17 and a half.
Okay.
That was I had a few jumpers when I was a kid that had a 16 neck.
16 neck. When you were six.
That's right. When I was.
Michael's age.
Look at my hair. What am I talking about anybody else the way they look? Look at this straw. Look at this ridiculous scarecrow straw on the top of my head. God almighty. I'm going to start shellacking it next week. I'm going straight back again. I want to be Don Corleone.
Hey, I know.
All right. So back to you.
Yeah.
So
for some time, Shannon has, what's the word again?
Surreptitiously?
Yes.
Secretly.
Surreptitiously.
Been giving Pony some of my dress shirts. And I would see Pony walk in and be like, I love that shirt. And he'd be like, thanks, it's yours. And just walk right by.
You know
right
what? I've noticed that Pony has had some nice shirts lately.
Yeah, good jackets. It's great.
Pony, hold on a second. Was this just something that you and Shannon had a little exchange going on that our boy Oscar
baby.
Here didn't know about?
Yeah. I mean, for months, like, she would just come in and be like, hey, this doesn't fit Oscar anymore. And I'd be like, oh, it's awfully nice. Thank you. And she'd just give me these things, like, kind of secretly. And then Oscar never asked any questions, so I sure as hell wasn't going to say. Like,
Oscar, would you not ask questions? You strike me, Oscar, as the kind of guy that would know everything in your closet.
I thought
you don't?
They were at the cleaners or something put somewhere,
right.
Or they were in transfer. But I didn't know.
COVID was sort of a bad era for the dry cleaner.
I didn't know they were transferred to Pony Boy.
Signed off.
And... I've been making peace with myself and being honest with what I can and cannot wear. And as the world opens up, Mike,
by the way, I don't consider you tubby boots.
I'm not. But just bear with me here. I don't want to be the skinny guy that says he's fat that isn't fat. I'm chubby now. So
no, you're not chubby. You might be chunky.
I'm chunky. Whatever you want to call it, it is not what I was. It's what I am now.
It.
Although
I
on this show, you're. Rail thin.
Yeah,
I don't want, but I know how my knees feel. I want to feel better, so I'm working towards the right direction.
Okay.
I realized the other day when Pony walked in one of my favorite shirts, wearing it, I realized, like, oh my god, these clothes, they fit him better than they fit me. So I made peace with that thought and said, okay, I'm just going to give him everything that I think will fit Pony. But if something even, if I can button something on my chest, not just my neck, I'm going to keep it.
I get it.
Like there's a chance.
Nothing fits
me. By the way, I have never, ever given up on having the thinner clothes.
Yeah.
And by the way, my thin clothes are fat, normal guy clothes. Yeah. All right?
I'm with
my
you.
My thin clothes are what fat guys would wear. The clothes that I wear more often, you know, are fat clothes. That's what I wear.
And while I love Public Rec and the ability to wear golf shirts, and I think that will continue, there are too many suits flying through the office that I, at this point, I gotta take the plunge and get fatter suits. So
that's a big deal. That's
a big deal that you're committing.
Well, how formal about wear? You know, the luxury I have down here in West South Florida is the fact that you know, we don't have to dress up for the show, and in my daily life, I really don't, unless there's some sort of an event or we're going out to a super nice joint. But even then, you know, now I can wear a sport coat with a pair of jeans.
Well, casual Florida is different, just like in Los Angeles.
What about what about having them altered? Is there enough fabric that you could have them altered?
That's a
good question.
I had regular shirt. These were shirts were made for with less fabric.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the suit.
The suit were also custom suits.
Tony, do you have any of Oscar's suits?
Yeah, don't have any of his suits. I just have some really nice jackets and
dress shirts.
And
dress shirts.
Are they sport coat jackets?
No. It was like a sports jacket, as in like a
yes,
like a yoga jacket. So like
they're more
a yoga jacket.
It's actually a really nice.
It's really nice. It's really nice.
What the
nice
hell
jacket.
Is a yoga jacket?
I was into yoga for a cup of coffee, so I wanted to look good. That's a different story.
Before the last Vegas show, Mike, I took my tuxedo to have it altered. I've got a lovely lady that does it in Leesburg.
What'd she say?
She said, not enough fabric.
Oh, that had to feel horrible.
I said, I just need it a little. And she says, we've done this before.
Okay. A yoga jacket? I'm looking up yoga jacket, and I'm getting is like Lululemon.
Lululemon jacket. Doesn't fit me anymore. It's fine. Let's not focus on the jacket. Let's focus on the suits.
Lululemon men's sounds delicious.
I'm about to hand
Pony. Oh, there it is. Okay, I get it.
I'm going to hand Pony saying. No less, and wait for it, because for years, all I asked for were gift certificates to Indochino and Blank Label for my family.
Right.
Probably $5,000 worth of suits and shirts that will come to him in a bounty. My only ask from him to me is that he wear the suits into work.
I can definitely do that.
Okay, so your skinny Oscar size will fit skinny Pony size?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, he'll be swimming in a little bit, and maybe somewhat of a high water situation.
It's kind of his look.
But we'll work it. We'll work it out.
How much taller are you, Pony, than Oscar?
Geez, probably like 4 inches, like 3 or 4 inches.
Come here, let's see. I don't think you're 4 inches taller. Then come in here.
This guy.
Yeah, and the good news, Oscar, is the ties still fit, right?
The ties fit.
The ties are fine.
Right. You have to buy your own ties.
Okay, God, he is taller than him.
Here we go.
See? 3 inches. 3 inches, I think.
I can't see. I can't see.
Do you guys know that there's a camera?
3 inches. 3 inches. Size of his penis.
What?
I don't even know why I said that. That doesn't make any sense, and that's rude.
Yeah, you know what? You make that rude comment, and that penis is soon going to be in your pants.
Size of my penis. I'll take it. Size of my penis. Size of my penis.
Rob, I know Rob also gives his clothes that no longer fit him to people. Over the years, he's given them to a variety of people. Really? Who are some of the people, even one, if you could pull one name, who's somebody that you've given your old hand-me-downs to?
Willard Scott.
Gave you a nice long time on that one, didn't I? Gave you a long time to tee that one
I wish
up.
If I you had an x-ray of my head, it would look like three goldfish swimming. I
said, what to do? What to do? What to do?
No, Rob sends them all out to Hollywood. You can see some of Rob's famous clothes on This Is Us.
And not the flashbacks.
We have to take a break. When we come back, we will have the wonderful digital dumpster.
Dumpster.
When we come back, right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, y'all, I'm Luke Bryan.
Hi, America, this is Luke Bryan, and I won't be satisfied till I get every one of your redneck dollars in my wallet.
I'm here with Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and he wears real tiny little jackets.
This is going to work, bro. I mean, this
tiny
is going to be good.
I make my own beer. It tastes like...
Take it from country music doofus Luke Bryan.
Hi, this is Luke Bryan.
And I never shave my neck.
From shiny new licorice hats to red solo cups.
I've got goose flesh.
The Mike O'Mara Shopping Center has got you covered for all your hillbilly shopping needs.
Holy!
Just click the shopping center banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. Ain't that right, Luke?
That dang old internet, man. Click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, May is Military Appreciation Month, and Cornerstone First Financial would like to observe it by offering huge discounts to the 25 million veterans in the USA. Mortgage rates have dropped again to the lowest levels of the year, and right now you can get a fixed rate in the low twos. Mike O'Mara has timing. Mike O'Mara has timing.
I'm having a good
anyway,
timing.
Whether it's a refi or a purchase, the time to act is now. Call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Rates in the twos will not be here forever. I remember when they said that they go down like a parachute and they go up like a rocket.
Sure.
Well, you know. In most cases, loans are closing in just 2 weeks or so. Two weeks.
With a
VA loan, you can purchase a home with no money down, take cash out up to 90% of the value of your home, or get a streamlined refi with minimal costs. Cornerstone First is a direct lender and will guarantee to meet or beat any offer.
How you know?
Call now and mention this spot, and Cornerstone will cover all appraisal costs for veterans' loans that originate in the month of May. The professionals at Cornerstone First are standing by now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. I am not lying to you when I tell you Oscar used them, I used them, Rob used them.
Yeah, my dad used them twice.
I've used them twice.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic. And now without further ado, let's see who's hiding in that little digital dumpster out in back of the studio in Washington, D.C. right
hello,
now.
Hello, dummy.
Oh, he needs to say it again.
Dummy. Hello, dummy.
It's Mr. Don Rickles.
Oh, so sad.
The late Don Rickles, yes.
The late Don Rickles.
I'm hello, dummy.
And they got him on the show, and then he was terrible.
He was.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was really bad.
So bad. It was so sad.
He was, he made a, you know who, he was disappointing? Rodney was disappointing, except for one thing. Rodney said, bye-bye, boys.
Bye-bye, boys. Bye-bye, boys. And we saved it and played it forever.
Okay, so this cat, sometimes cats meow, sometimes they hiss, sometimes they purr, but sometimes cats sort of make like a warbly noise, you know, like they're...
Yeah.
And so this guy has this warbling cat, and he's been... He had a lot of time because he's got the pandemic thing going on. So he took the warbling cat, looped it, added drums, synthesizer, and lyrics, and made Mike the warbling cat song.
Making music, it's a matter of fact.
So that's what you can do if you've got a warbling cat.
That was my warbling cat.
I'm surprised, Oscar, you're at work today.
Why is that?
Thought you'd be home watching the Friends reunion.
Is it broken yet? Is it out there? Or
doesn't it break tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Tonight on HBO Max, is it?
Or HBO Max.
Yeah, so here for you, Oscar, a montage of the Friends theme in every musical format that I could think of.
I like this.
Of course you do.
Child's a joke, you broke. Your love lies to you.
And I want to say thank you to Mike O'Mara for giving me exactly what I wanted.
You look pained, Mike.
You do. You do. But on the bright side,
yeah. Wait, back to the show.
At least you didn't get carjacked.
Mm.
This came on TMZ yesterday. Akon, the popular singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was carjacked at a gas station.
Oh, no.
And he calls 911, and he is so polite, despite the fact this lady doesn't know who he is, but still she's treating him like he's an idiot.
Yes.
And he's so polite, this makes me like Akon a little more.
Yes, how you doing? Yeah, I was just carjacked at the gas station for my Range Rover.
And what gas station? What's the address?
The gas station is 761 Neiman's Marcus.
Neiman's
but I have a tracker. I have a
listen. 761 Neiman Marcus is not a street in the city of Atlanta. What's the address you're at? So I can get a police out there to you.
A-hole.
And what's the name of the gas station?
Oh no, I'm sorry, ma'am. This is not the gas station. This is where my car is actually parked because I have a tracker on it.
What gas station you at? What car? Have you made a police report?
Yeah, the police are on their way, but they've been on their way for a whole hour.
And you say you were carjacked?
Yes, ma'am.
At gunpoint?
No, it wasn't at gunpoint.
What happened then?
I was literally getting gas, and they just jumped in the car. And
that's not a carjacking. That's not a carjacking.
Oh, okay.
What? Someone she's a car. Complete... Fire
yes,
her ass.
I know!
Fire her ass. Ass,
you're there
her
to help.
Unconcerned ass.
And how does Akon, who has really just had his car stolen out from under him,
no,
stay so calm
I'm
and polite?
Sorry. I think he may be polite and he may be calm, but he is not expressing himself properly either by
he's
letting
probably
her know.
A little,
you don't show
he's
I'm
probably
at 762
shook. He's probably
Neiman
a little
Marcus.
Shook. Little shook.
Yeah, he's a little
shaking
yeah, up.
Yeah.
But it's the dispatcher's job to calm him down, but he's not exactly like, being clear on what happened.
You should have heard me on the phone with the gentleman from Shred It, you know, the company that comes and shreds documents.
Yes.
And I said,
it's not a skateboard company?
I need something in District of Columbia. They're like, all we have is Kent, Washington. And I said, no. D.C., Washington, D.C. They're like, sir, we only have it in Kent, Washington. I was like, oh, my God.
So he couldn't make the determination
no.
It wasn't the state.
No, yes.
It was the district.
Oh, my you know? God.
Mike, I love the
Costas
fact.
Costas could even do that.
I Jeez. Love the fact that even though you live in Florida, you still are a diehard fan of all the Washington sports franchises.
Absolutely.
And it was a bad night for the Wizards. As you know, they lost.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
Is this the fan that threw popcorn?
This is.
Actually, everybody does.
This is the announcer dressing down the fan and talking about what a bad thing it was to do.
Well, this guy was a complete ass. He should be banned from seeing any NBA game in person ever again.
So Russell Westbrook hurt his ankle, and as he was being walked
Too
off
bad.
The court, a fan dumped popcorn on him. And to add insult to injury, the Wizards lost 120-95 to the 76ers. But here's the announcer talking about it after the fact.
Fans, come out and cheer, come out and boo, yell all you want. We encourage that. This is just plain stupidity. Somebody pouring some popcorn and any athlete, being Westbrook or whomever, they are pumped with their adrenaline. He's probably feeling bad. His team may be en route here to losing this game too. Just a stupid thing to do.
So don't dump popcorn on people, Oscar.
Also, the dressing...
Popcorn hurts.
The dressing down could have been...
Oh, it doesn't.
I thought this guy was going to come with some passion. Like, he's just reading off a teleprompter.
It was provided to him.
Let me tell you about play-by-play guys.
Buckhands.
Who, if you talk to them off the court, they sound like this.
I'm not a purist, but Steve Buckhands would have had a better... he would have
Steve Buckhands.
A better rant about
he
it.
He would have dressed the guy
yeah,
down
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
would have done it better.
Yeah.
Buck, miss you. Miss you, Buck. You're the best.
This
Absolutely.
Is a situation I've had my drunken experiences, but I've never woken up in the wrong house. I've never done that. Except this lady in England goes out to her sunroom one morning and finds a gentleman passed out in her sunroom. She has the wherewithal to videotape it. And the guy, I have to admit, he's pretty pleasant about it.
Excuse me.
And Mike, I have to apologize for the music bed that was put on not by me, okay? But
okay.
This right. is the lady finding the man in the sunroom.
Excuse me. Do you know you're in someone's house?
No.
Yeah, you're in our house.
Oh, sorry.
Were you drunk last night?
I was a little bit, yeah, and I was just trying to find my house.
Whereabouts do you live?
Up in Hatfield.
Yeah, this isn't Hatfield.
Sounds like an old guy.
Gosh, where am I? Whereabouts am I?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Apologies, man.
Apologies, ma'am.
I love the English.
Yes, they're very civil.
If this is Rockville, Maryland, somebody would have called the cops by now.
Well, and by the way, to the douche who decided it was cute to put the music on it, screw you.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that, Internet. Don't do that, YouTube.
Bad Internet.
Don't
Bad YouTube.
Any music tracks on anything. If it's good enough, it'll stand alone. Okay?
I don't like music on YouTube videos.
I don't like that. Makes me want to throw popcorn on the people that do that.
Don't worry, though. I went online and I saved all the good parts. Mike,
thank you.
Preview, keeping up with the Kardashians. And so far, I've been keeping up. So that's
it's
good.
It's almost over.
Tonight.
Oh, by the way, can I say something? I'm not sure what listener it was that said he proudly has never seen one episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I am in that category.
No,
I have never seen.
Really?
I have never seen a complete episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Me too.
Ever. Yeah. Oh, you too?
I think I've seen most.
You've seen them all, I think. But here's the deal. There's a big reveal on tonight's episode, and they put a preview out. This affects us all. This is a Kardashian named Kim.
So you guys, I did not pass the baby bar. If you do law school the way that I'm doing it, it is a four-year program instead of your typical three-year program. And after year one, you have to take the baby bar. This one actually is harder, I hear, than the official bar.
Mm,
you needed a 560. You got a 474.
I am a failure.
You're not a failure, Kim.
I spent, you know, 6 weeks straight, 10 to 12 hours a day studying. And it was so important for me to take this and to not pass. Gets your spirit down and just makes you want to give up.
So I want everyone to know, before you go to court, you're going to have to find another lawyer because Kim Kardashian did not pass the baby bar, okay? That's your digital dumpster. Have a good Thursday.
I like that. Call Kardashian, Kardashian, and Kardashian. Well, or, you know, her daddy was.
She can always take it again, you know?
Or pay someone to take it.
Yeah.
Her daddy was a lawyer, or her alleged daddy.
Yeah, hire the college guy.
Right. We got to get out of here. Hey, everybody, have a great holiday weekend. Tomorrow, please join us for the bonus show with our Memorial Day Spin-tacular. We'll be playing hits of the 80s, 80s, and 80s that you may have missed. And you're going to love every single minute when we give each other topics to talk over records. And it's really not playing the whole record like you would hear on a boring classical rock station.
Ooh.
Or a classic rock station.
Classical rock?
Classical rock. Fired. Anywho, we got to get out of here for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Bara saying so long, everybody. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Bara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'BaraShow.com.
Memorial Day. Mike O'Bara, Radio Entertainment.
Good for you!
What do I do?